It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
The Jeff Fisher Show, brought to you by Bud Light, Buffalo Wild Wings, Super Park, and Dobbs Tire and Auto.
Welcome to the Jeff Fisher Show. How you doing? DeMarco Farr, Steve Savard, and our special guest had 7 sacks, a career best last year with the Rams. Off to a good start with a big sack at a big time yesterday. William Hayes, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you. I call you the microwave. I'm going to call you the microwave. Off the bench, when you come in, you just wreck shop. Wreck shop, 6 plays, out, rest, get ready to come back.
I take the name.
How big was it, man? How great was that? Wiping out an 11-point deficit to win the opener.
It was awesome. It just shows how far we done came from last year. You know, I think last year we just didn't have that killer instinct. When we was down by 11, we was just kind of fold. This year, I think it shows the character of our team.
Yeah, so it wasn't your A game. I mean, it wasn't your cleanest game, but yet you still found a way to win.
Absolutely. I think we got much to improve on, and that's the good thing about this team. It's still a lot of upside.
What was the feeling on the sideline when you're down by 11?
This the first time, like I said, I got here last year, but there was no panic at all. Which is a good thing. You know, generally, you know, a team go down by 11 going into the fourth quarter. You start seeing guys to kind of just throwing a towel. Guys really felt like we could still win this game.
We keep saying that seems like it's from the top down, from your head coach all the way down. You guys really kind of have taken on his personality.
Yeah, I mean, if you was to look at the way guys were reacting after winning down by 11, you would probably thought we'd still win the game. We'd win the game. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
You've played before Jeff Fisher, both in Tennessee and now 2 years here in St. Louis. How do you describe your head coach?
Calm and collective. He's a different type of guy.
Is he different than anybody you've ever played for?
Absolutely.
In what way?
When we was 0-6 when I was in Tennessee, he still had our team believing that, you know, that we was still a great football team. And players brought into it and was able to turn things around.
You did turn things around. Yeah. It was almost remarkable given that start.
Yeah.
You signed – the Rams did not want you to get out in free agency, but there's always that fear, okay? And you had a career best year last year. They identified you as a core player. They wanted you back. What was the difference? What made you decide to re-sign here in St. Louis?
Coach Fisher.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that played the biggest part of it. I just didn't want to go – and be a part of another program and not know what I was getting myself into. Because one thing is, it's a great feeling coming to work every day, and you love coming to work.
But you're not a starter. I'm sure you could have gone and gotten, quote, maybe more money, starter's money or starter role, but you decided to stay here. Now you play an awful lot. You contribute an awful lot, but you're not, quote, a starter. That didn't matter to you, huh?
No, I mean, like I said, I figured I could have went and got more money. But if you're not happy coming to work anyway, you mean eventually they're going to get rid of you eventually. So, like I said, I accepted my role. I know I was getting myself into coming back, and I'm just going to just try to go until the wheels fall off.
You got to respect that.
Yeah.
He's happy. He's happier. It means more to him than money. I like that. But that had to be a good day in the defensive line meeting room.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn, 3 sacks. You guys brought it. Did good job against the run. You got the play at the end to finish the game off. I mean, how do you like this group of defensive linemen here?
I think we got a good group. I think a great unit. I played on some real good defensive lines, and I think the potential of this defensive line could be really, really, really scary.
Do we do a disservice to Robert Quinn by saying it was only Levi Brown?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, because I honestly think he could do that to anybody right now in the league. And I genuinely mean that. I don't think it's really too many guys who are going to be the block him one-on-one.
You were telling us before we went in the air that you see some things in practice you just don't see from other guys.
Absolutely. He's just so different. Like, his rushing style is different.
Athletically different?
Athletically different. He don't rush like nobody in the league.
What's the word you used?
I call him Gumby.
Gumby, absolutely.
He does look like he bends in ways that a 265-pound man should
and
bend.
And maintains his balance. Absolutely. That's amazing stuff.
Like just the body control, just the way he moves. I mean, he's a different type guy.
I love the way Mike Waffle shuffles you guys in and out of there. And I love it when you load up to the pass rushing situation. You got four defensive ends in there. You and Eugene go in there and join Robert. And what's that like, man? You just make a pack. Let's just get there as fast as we can.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be – it's good because, you know, especially when you get to start getting to those really athletic quarterbacks, we got the opportunity to kind of run a Kaepernick or a Russell down, you know. And like I said, and keep those big D tackles really fresh. You know, it gives them a little extra time to breathe and, you know, they pick up first, they come back in. If not, we get off the field.
Big D tackles. Yeah. You guys don't pick on Cujo because he's short, right? You don't pick on the little one.
No.
Okay, just making sure because he brings it too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rams defensive end William Hayes with us in the first segment tonight of the Jeff Fisher Show. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings. Give me an idea what the dome felt like to you. What was the atmosphere like for you, especially in that fourth quarter yesterday?
I think the fans was really into it. I mean, it was a lot different. When I first got here, I think it was, you know, the crowd environment wasn't bad, but I think yesterday, like, the fans, like, really, like, they played a big part in the game. Because people don't really realize it, but the fans do play a huge part. Because when you hear all that yelling and, you know, I mean, it gets the guys to going.
I love crowd noise.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, when they can't hear, it's better for the D-line, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's building. I guess you can say it's building blocks, just like your team. You're building in the right direction, so is the fan base. Good product in the field, more people show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you sense the excitement here in St. Louis about where this team's going? Because before you arrived, I'm not going to talk about past history, but, you know, some lean years here, and all of a sudden the arrows start pointing right through the roof last year. Can you sense the fans here are ready for something?
I think so. I think it's about time. We being realistic, you know, it's been some bad football played around here.
Yes.
And our goal is to change it around. And I just think they're starting to buy into, you know, what we got going on around here.
Tell me about the locker room, and the reason I ask this is because Dave McGinnis, we were talking the first week of training camp, and he says, you know what, last year we were just getting things settled. This year now he believes that you guys have a chance to be very good for a long period of time, because not just because of the talent base on the field, but also because of what you have in the locker room. I'm sure he's referring to you because you're a veteran here too, but give me a sense of what the locker room is like, because you got 27 rookies and second-year players, so a lot falls on you guys who've been around the block.
The one thing about our rookies, we got good rookies. Like, I can't say nothing about them. Like, they didn't come in with no egos. You know, they want to learn. They board card. But the locker room is great. And it's hard to say, like, because one thing about locker rooms, there's really not too many – there's no cliques. Like, everybody gets along with everybody. You go to a lot of teams, the O-line is, like, with the O-line, and, you know, the D-line just mess with the D-line. But everybody gets along really well in the locker room.
It's not so distorted, though, to where there's young guys. The oldest guy is not that far removed from his rookie year. So there is a lot in common with teammates.
Well, you got Will Witherspoon.
Well, this is true. He is old.
But even Will is, you know, he's real laid back. So, like I said, like the old guys get along with the young guys really well.
Yeah, Will was here before. He seems like a perfect fit with you guys. Hey, William, congratulations. We appreciate you coming out. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you very much. How about a hand for William Hayes? Big sack yesterday. He'll be playing a big role again Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. We want to encourage you to call the show here. Talk to Jeff Fisher, 314-969-0101. Or in Illinois, it's 399-0101. You can also text at 65780 or tweet at Rams Radio with the hashtag AskTheCoach. You ready to hear from Jeff Fisher? He's coming up in the next segment. The Jeff Fisher Show continues in a moment from Buffalo Wild Wings on 101 ESPN and the Rams Radio Network.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm going to miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Welcome back. I already heard from William Hayes, who had a sack, played a big role in yesterday's win. Now we talk with head coach Jeff Fisher. Hey, Jeff. Congratulations.
All right. How's everybody?
Good.
Can't complain. How was your Monday?
It wasn't a victory Monday from a player standpoint because, you know, the victory Monday, as you remember, that's where they don't have to come in.
Right.
So we had too many things happen this ball game. Too many things.
So you had some
too
had
many
some,
things to
some
correct.
Things to correct.
Yes, we did. So we got through it. It was good.
You and can't really request a victory Monday after that, right?
No.
If
you
you're
can't.
A player?
No.
Right.
It's way too early in the season to do the victory Monday thing, and I hope the players are listening. So.
But the encouraging thing, though, is you overcame those mistakes.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
did.
A hell of a fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there 1:47 left, and we're down by 11 and in the third quarter.
Third quarter.
And then we put together an eight-play drive. And then what happened was, is it was impressive. Nobody panicked. They just kept playing. And we got plays on all three phases. You got big plays on special teams, and then, of course, the big plays on defense. And then you got to get points offensively. So, you know, it was a good, solid fourth quarter of football.
Offensively, what'd you like?
Pass protection. Kept Sam on his feet. I think they got close six times, which is good. This is, if you go back to last year, this is three consecutive games now where we've not given up a sack, and that hasn't happened in the history of the Rams since the 70s. So, you know, good things are starting to happen. And, of course, you know, the production that we got out of Jared, you know, I thought the execution for the most part was good. I thought Darryl was good. You know, Darryl loses that 20-yard catch and run because of the holding penalty, or he's got over 110, 115 all-purpose yards in the game where everybody else has yards. So I thought that was good. I thought our special teams, the young guys that we talked about, matched up well. I thought they played well against a well-coached special teams unit with a very dangerous punt returner. I mean, we punted the ball well. You know, we had the miscue there on the 1 yard line. You'd like to get that, but and then of course defensively, it was the pressure on the passer that was outstanding.
I think we were impressed with Sam Bradford how he was so elusive in the pocket, in the face of some pressure. Stepping to the pressure around and freeing himself, that was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good sense for that. And the thing, you know, for the listeners, what Sam does so well is he doesn't have to take his eyes off, you know, the receiver or the coverage. You know, some quarterbacks, they'll see a flash of color, and then now they're watching the rush. He keeps his eyes downfield, kind of moves around. He's got a good feel for that.
Yeah, that 80-yard drive was huge. DeMarco described it as the big boy drive. You needed that. You got down there. And then the two-point conversion was brilliant, too. It worked out perfectly.
Yeah. You know, people don't expect Sam to pull it down and run it. It's a you know, this option. People know that the people that do it are going to, you know, you'll call two plays. And if you get the look, you keep it on the ground. And if you don't get the look, then you take advantage of a mismatch outside. But they don't expect that out of Sam. So that's going to help us down the line once we get down there.
Defensively, rush was good. Coverage, Fitzgerald, I guess, is back with the quarterback. Andre Roberts had a couple of good catches. A lot of zone coverage?
We zoned. We played probably too much zone. I thought we need to play it better. When we got in the man, we were good. You know, both Jinx and Court will tell you that he should not catch those touchdown passes. Court was kind of off technique a little bit. He was kind of bluffing inside a little bit and should have been outside and on top, and that doesn't happen. And then trying to do too much. And same thing, Jenks, we basically almost had a double on Fitz, and Jenks just didn't think he was going to come there. And he kind of, you know, just relaxed. And so you learn from those things. You know, it's overall the whole game, all three phases, there were tremendous things to learn from.
What'd you think of the play of your young safeties?
Thought they were solid. Yeah, they
aggressive.
Were solid. Yeah, they're aggressive. They tackle well.
They're willing participants.
Yes,
did you say to
they
Marco?
Are.
Yes,
I mean they
yes.
are.
A lot of people find ways to miss those hits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
yeah.
No, not these two.
Yeah,
no, they communicated well, and I thought they played a solid game.
And of course, Robert Quinn was spectacular. There was a time though, Jeff, we were thinking about last year and how many balls were on the turf, and I think the first three that were loose didn't go your way, including Jared's fumble in the end zone. But then the strip that he came up with was just huge for you.
Yeah, guys. It was a big play for us, and he's got a real good knack. You know, using his hands, he practices it all the time. And if he gets there early, he's usually going to get the ball out.
I was going to ask. I asked William Hayes the same question. Do you think we do him a disservice saying it was just Levi Brown, just the Arizona Cardinals, the way Quinn got off the football?
Well, we'll watch and see how he does this week. I mean, he should do it week after week. And then, you know, what you expect to see is you're going to expect to see a back, a chip, you know, a tight end leaning on him. But they can only do that to one side. And they actually chose to do more with Chris than they did with Rob.
There was a point in the first half where both your tackles went down with injuries. They both went back in. In fact, Jake didn't miss a play. Now, that had a lot of people ask me about that, what went on at that situation. You chose to use a timeout.
Well, I didn't have a choice. Okay. When you have an injury inside of 2 minutes, it's a charged team timeout. So, yeah, with that being the case, he didn't have to come out.
Because you were charged a timeout.
Because we were charged
but
a
normally
timeout.
He has to normally come
normally
out.
Normally he has to come out of play, yeah. Right. If play is stopped, he'll have to come out of play.
Oh, we thought he told you, I'm good. You took a timeout.
Well,
he went back in.
We were going to kind of – he was going to take a deep breath over there. He needed it. And when I told him he doesn't have to come out, we've gone to timeout, then he decided to go back in. That happened last year in London with Sam. Same thing. When Sam went down,
yeah,
we all thought the worst, and he got it was wind,
right.
And we were charged a timeout, and I went back in.
I think the one guy who played a major role that we haven't talked about here is Greg Zuerlein. I mean, we just come to think of a 48-yard field goal. No, look, if you go back 10 or 20 years, a 48-yard field goal was an adventure. And for some guys, it still is.
People wouldn't even attempt them.
Right. Their guy missed. Their guy who's got 13 years and is a quality kicker misses a 50-yarder. We tend to think now of, and maybe this is dangerous thinking on my part, but is a 48 almost being automatic with this kid?
Yeah, I mean, indoors it's automatic. Yeah, and now obviously outdoors is a different deal depending on the wind and things like that. But yeah, it's not an issue. The one thing about Greg is as you get out there and you get out of range, you get long. You know, some kickers have tendencies to hit those things low. The trajectory is a little bit lower. His is not. His just lifts up in the air. So very little fear of those long ones getting blocked.
You noted that yesterday in the 48-yarder. He's not trying to drill it through the back of the – he's putting some nice loft on there.
I would have said from that distance, be careful he may knock out the wall because it's coming out 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Is it just him, his ability, or do you always have this much confidence in a kicker?
Well, I trust the kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, the kicker's job. Basically, we'll know what the range is, and then – we expect him to make it within the range. And then if it's outside the range, then that becomes my fault if he misses it. I say, hey, give this a shot. This one's on me, but take a shot at it.
We talked about this going in, that this Arizona Cardinal team would be different. It is a different team. With Carson Palmer, quarterback, those three receivers are showcased now.
Yeah, they are.
Whereas I'm not sure they were always relevant in games in the last 2 or 3 years, and I don't want to be unkind to anybody, but Carson Palmer can
spread it now. He can spin it, and he can put it where it needs to put. He made some great throws yesterday. He kept drives alive, and, you know, he moves around the pocket a little bit. He knows where to go with the football. He's hard to fool. You know, it's not like you can deploy all kinds of, you know, creative things coverage-wise and fool him. It's difficult to fool. But, our plan was to, you know, try to get him to hold it. Just hold it for a split second longer, and then we felt like we could get there.
But you made him one-dimensional, though. You mission accomplished. I think they averaged 3 yards a carry about that. You didn't want that team to have success on the ground, and they didn't. So they were basically one-dimensional. They had to do their damage through the air, and that played into your pass rush eventually.
Yeah, it did. And then, of course, you know, had we not done the things that we did to ourselves, I think you can make a case we could have gone into the fourth quarter with a 10, maybe 17-point lead.
Right.
And then, you know, who knows what happens then, because your D-line is just rolling off and rushing, and they're one-dimensional for the whole period.
Clean up the penalty situation, obviously. That's obviously a priority for you.
Yeah.
You had four after the whistle type penalties.
And disappointing. We talked to the guilty parties today about it, and we got to get it cleaned up. I think, you know, Court owned up to his, you know, and they said he can't let that happen again. It's too hard to overcome 15-yard penalties in games against good opponents, you know. Now, Jake's, you know, I don't fault Jake at all. Jake was called for holding. You know, he kicks out and he stumbles, he gets tripped, and he's going down. And you know what? He's going to pull the guy down rather than let him hit Sam. And that's an old pro right there. No guy knows what he's doing. Unfortunately, he called back, you know, a big first down. But you'd rather have that than, you know, your quarterback get hit.
Did we see a guy get called for unsportsmanlike taunting for talking, or did he do something? Did we miss something?
It was Eugene. In the face. Yeah, Eugene. They got caught up in the special teams matchups, and yeah, they had won the battle on the field, and yeah, you know, officials are going to, when you get in someone's face and talk, they're going to throw. Not every crew, but most crews will. And you just can't. That's the thing I explained to him last week, is that you may have a former college teammate on the other team, and the officials don't know it. You can't, even though you're messing around, you can't afford to do that, because you know there's a sportsmanship issue, and they're going to stand behind it.
We'll take your phone calls when we come back. 314-969-0101. In Illinois, it's 399-0101. You can also text us at 65780 or tweet at Rams Radio with the hashtag AskTheCoach. This is the Jeff Fisher Show, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Creve Coeur on 101 ESPN and the Rams Radio Network.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm going to miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Welcome back. We want to thank everybody that comes out, not only tonight, but throughout the year, and everybody that calls in. We appreciate it. And I want to recognize the Schilling and Zopp families who are here from Binghamton, New York.
You'll love this, Fish.
They're at the game. They were at the game yesterday, and Chuck is here celebrating his 50th birthday. Right there.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
New York-born Rams fan.
All right.
Yeah. How'd you like that ball game yesterday, Chuck?
I still can't talk.
Yeah, it's all right. All right. Well, we're delighted you're here. You want to take some phone calls now?
Yeah.
All right. Let's connect with Bob, who's on the road calling from Illinois. Bob, welcome to the Jeff Fisher Show.
Are you going to do some talking with Coleman City, so he doesn't take 15-yard penalties every time he gets aggressive? And finally, would you guys bring it over to the show over our side of the river, Buffalo Wild Wings? We'd love to attend. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, Court came out after the game and owned up to everything. And that he's a pro. He's going to do that. He said that was my fault. It was my responsibility. I got to back down, play smarter, and I'm not going to let it happen again. So, you know, he's an aggressive player. The one illegal contact penalty was kind of strange to me. There's a chuck zone. It's 5 yards, and he contacts receiver at 5 yards, and they throw a flag. So, but the other ones, the ones after the play, unnecessary.
Let's head to Sedalia and welcome in Dale. Dale, you're on with Jeff Fisher.
Evening, Coach. Congratulations.
Thanks, Dale.
I just wanted to say that I really think that from looking at it the other day, the only way we ever really stopped was we stopped ourselves. So it seems to me like when we really get the connection going well, we're going to be pretty awesome, and it's going to be fun to watch. That's what I got to say, so have a good evening.
Well, I appreciate the call. No, that's what we did. I mean, that was, you know, unfortunately, early in the year, sometimes there's emotions associated with the opener. We tried to calm guys down. But there are going to be instances where you hurt yourself, and we did that to ourselves. Now, you're going to give Matthew the play, I mean, credit for that great play on Cookie. That was an outstanding defensive play. But still, you know, and the lesson to be learned there is that ball's got to be put away tight, and you can't assume anything. And then, you know, we emphasized it even before the game, before warm-ups. We talked about it yesterday, about the importance of just simply giving the ball back to the official. It's very simple. Give it back to the official when the play's over. Nobody else, I mean, that's if that's what you do, then you're never going to fumble the football. And so, I think Cookie was probably expecting to give the ball back to the official very soon.
Oh!
And he got stripped.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
He bounced back big time.
Oh, he did. Yeah. You talk about bouncing back. Now, Sam was 9 for 9 after the interception for touchdown.
Yeah.
You know? And so the guys did. They bounced back, and that's the thing. It's the mark of putting together a good team is that those things don't bother. You have to have a real short memory in the National Football League.
Well, I think your team's developing that. The stat that impressed us is through 17 games in your tenure, you've won four games in which you've trailed after three quarters.
Yeah.
So that's saying something here.
It's kind of a simple philosophy. Just don't look at the scoreboard. Let us take care of that. Just play.
Yeah.
Just play, and things will work out for themselves.
Let's head to St. Charles. Bill, welcome to the show. You're on with Jeff Fisher.
Hey, Coach. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Hey, I just want to know, Coach, as somebody who was born and raised in a longtime Rams fan from California, what can we do as an organization to make sure that the 49ers never beat us twice a year for 7-8 years in a row again?
Well, we're working on that, and we do things such as draft players and sign free agents and
game plan and coach.
And, yeah, so we're working on that. So they haven't beat us in a year, so we don't play them for a few weeks.
Yeah, how about that? That's worthy of some applause. All right, speaking of California, let's head there for the next caller. Barney, welcome to the Jeff Fisher Show. What's on your mind tonight?
Obvious that you're changing the culture at Rams Park, and even when we went down by 11, I had a house full of friends and family here, and we all kind of, our heads went down, and we were like, oh, there's just no way, and you could just see that there's a change in this team, and you changed the culture here at my house, so I just want to let you know that. And then on another thing, just a question about Finnegan. It seems like he's having some issues out there on the radio. They touched on it that people were throwing a lot more against him and had a lot more completion rates. He's a great pickup. I love the guy. I love his fire. Question if maybe he was over helping on safety or just maybe you didn't pass on some information. Thank you, Coach Atreus.
Yeah, certainly. Cortland plays two different positions in the defense. He'll play corner on early downs or in a base defense, and then in a sub package against three and four receivers, then he's going to move inside and play what we refer to as the nickel corner. And so he's doing a lot more than some of the other guys on defense are doing. And the nickel job is not easy. He does everything from cover Larry Fitzgerald man-to-man to drop and play a number of different zone coverages, to rush, to have to run fill. So it's a combination of a pure cover corner and a linebacker. And so it's not an easy job. So and there's very few guys that are good at it. And Court's been one of the better nickel corners, in his career.
We have some questions from in-house here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's welcome in Matt from Kirkwood. Matt, what's on your mind tonight?
I was just wondering, when you get a penalty called and you disagree, how far are you willing to go to argue with it?
I mean, with officials?
Yes.
I take this approach, philosophy with officials. There's a human element to this game. And there's going to be mistakes that are made, and so you have to accept that. When you disagree with something that happens, I disagree with something that happens on the field, I'm going to ask why, what I thought they saw, or what those kind of things. And where I'll get really have a problem is if there's a mistake in enforcement of rules. If there's a penalty enforcement mistake or something like that, that shouldn't happen. But this game is so fast and it is hard to officiate this game. So, but they're doing the best they can. I mean, I like to maintain very good relationships with the guys on the field.
Right, here's a question that we got online here from Chris. Will you have Sam open up the offense and possibly play no huddle?
We have the ability to do that, yes. Really depends on the game or the opponent and, what we feel, is the best way to move the football during the week. But we have the ability to do that, and Sam does does it well. The downside of that is, you don't want to go three and out and, real quick and put your defense back on the field. But, no, he does do it, no huddle. I mean, that's basically how we got down in field goal range there at the end. Now, if he's referring to early in the game, which I think he is, we have the ability to do that, yes.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome in Jack from Wentzville. Jack, good evening.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, Coach?
Good, Jack.
My question is, I see we got Tavon Austin from West Virginia. Huge fan, by the way. He's a great punt returner. Why not get him more involved on the kickoff return? And if not, Chris Givens has got better speed than anybody on the team. Why not give him a chance at kick return?
Well, good question. We just decided Tavon's got a lot on his plate right now as a young player in the offense, and so we didn't want to put the whole load on him. There's a time and a place for him probably doing that. Chris, I think, obviously showed he can do it, but I'm comfortable right now with what Benny's doing. And the other thing is what happens now in the league, because we've moved the kickoff up to the 35, is about 50% of the kicks are being returned. Now, yesterday was less than that. I mean, we kicked off seven times and returned twice, and neither one of them was a good result. But so, that's the thing. There's less emphasis on that. That's the same reason I think they've taken Patrick Peterson off the kickoff return and just have him to handle the punts.
And the one kickoff he did return, Arenas did return, Darren Bates made him pay. Now, there are a lot of guys in position, but Darren Bates looks like a guy who craves a little full-speed contact.
Oh, he likes it, yeah.
He's a crash test dummy.
He does. He is there's a method to our madness in covering kicks, and that's the thing that was impressed with me is the guys carried over exactly what was told to them on the practice field into the game, and they were told, if you do it this way, here's where the collision's going to be, and if you do it properly, the ball should come out, and sure enough, we had the exact same thing happen. We got the ball out.
Got to be a little crazy to cover kicks.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Or how about
especially we refer to the techniques that they were using. Their front line guys will, as you kick the ball off and you're covering and the ball's in the air, the front line guys will run right at you and take a shot at you. We call it drive-bys. Okay. So we said everybody had to be alert for drive-bys against this team. And if you can avoid one, then they got one fewer blocker down there and there's one free guy to the ball.
Be crazy returning punts too. Who would do that? Who would do that?
Not me.
Tough duty.
You guys are looking at me. I don't know.
Tough duty. All right, we'll take a break. Come back more with the Jeff Fisher Show on 101 ESPN and the Rams Radio Network.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Welcome back. Rams are 1-0. They'll be 2-0 after beating the Falcons on Sunday. We'll get to a little Falcons talk and preview talk in a moment. Want to take another phone call. Another question from in-house. This is Jennifer.
Correct.
Good evening, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm awesome.
You're awesome.
All right.
You're better than good. So you step right up and ask Jeff your question.
Well, Coach Fisher,
I'm in trouble. When it starts with well, you're usually in trouble.
First of all, we want to thank you for a tremendous win.
Thank you.
The first since 2006. Mm-hmm. And as a season ticket holder, we are excited and ready for some football.
Well, thank you.
And thank you, DeMarco, for messing with my question.
What, your question?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I don't know. I had mine written down.
Okay.
And you took it.
I took your question.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But anyway, we know that penalties seem to be our excitement here with this game. I just kind of want to know, how are you going to keep these boys in line? They are young. And still be able to keep the enthusiasm and the energy that they have available. But I still am very curious, and we all got a chuckle at the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Really, what is excessive taunting?
Excessive taunting?
Yeah.
Well, the league basically has placed a great deal of emphasis over the recent years in sportsmanship. And they don't want players getting in their opponents' faces and saying things in the faces in such a manner. Now, and that's basically what taunting is. Now, it's looked at, I think, somewhat consistently from crew to crew, but that's what we were talking about earlier. We got, you know, the guys, just they can't do it. So I've got some thoughts. I had, years ago, we had an issue with some penalties early in the year, and I took swift action, and we got it under control. So they'll be presented with a proposal, if you will, on Wednesday when they come back to work. A
little pucker.
Yeah.
A deal they can't refuse.
An offer they can't refuse.
I like that. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are awesome, by the way. You're awesome.
Thank you. Right. I hate when coaches say that. I'll take care of that. That's my fault. It'll never happen again. That is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Well,
back to the phone lines. Welcome in Vic from Panama, Illinois. Vic, good evening. You're on the Jeff Fisher Show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I got a couple questions for you. On that play, that Finnegan, that touchdown with Fitzgerald and Finnegan,
yes.
It looked like he was looking for help over the top, and he didn't get it from the safeties. Is that correct?
No, it's not. He had not. It wasn't going to get over the top help. He had post help, but we had a deal going. It's a complicated deal, but we had an issue going on the other side, and. Rodney wanted to make sure that the issue was covered before he pushed, and Court just, he was bluffing a little bit, trying to fake a little blitz, and should not have. In retrospect, he needs to worry about his, you know, his own business and not try to do too much. That's what happened.
I got one more thing about receiver. How about Quip? Is he hurt or something? I was out of practice a couple of times for you guys, but man, I see him make some unbelievable catches out there. It looks to me like he's got everything to be a good wide receiver. Is he hurt or what's the story with him?
No, he's not hurt. As a matter of fact, he was the one that put the ball down inside the 1 yard line. A great run after catch. That was a great run. Great catch and run through traffic and just, you know, just about got in the end zone. So, no, he's not hurt. He's you know, he's playing about half the snaps out there, which is, you know, you like I said, yeah. A week ago, we got one ball, you know. If Brian Quick's running his route right, and the coverage takes Sam to Jared Cook, and it's a 40-yard completion, you know, there you have it. You can't throw two balls at the same time.
Vic, thank you for your call. Let's head to St. Genevieve and welcome in Ryan. Good evening, Ryan. Ryan, are you with us? Yes, Ryan, you're on the Jeff Fisher Show. What's your question or comment for the head coach?
I wanted to ask if, with Pete coming back, will Richardson see less touches next week?
Good question. Really depends on the game plan, but no, I think Darryl's touches were good. I'd like to see, you know, Zach get a few more opportunities, but no, we'll work Isaiah back in, but I think Darryl's been very good with and without the football.
Here's a question we had texted to us. Lance Kendrick's role with the acquisition of Jared Cook, does it change? What do you envision?
No, you know, we had a lot of two tight end offense yesterday. Lance was inside, Cookie was lined up outside, and vice versa. Lance played pretty well. You know, he had three catches. They were big catches, but one, you know, kept a drive alive. He had a third down conversion. And so, yeah, he's working himself back into it, and I thought he played pretty well.
Here's another question. Do you think the NFC West is the toughest in the league?
I'd say ask me again in about 6 or 8 weeks. I mean, I think everybody is, you know, everybody that's following the game right now says that it is.
Right.
You know, there's good teams. I mean, there's good teams throughout the conferences and the divisions. But I think maybe top to bottom, we'll have a pretty good idea in 6 or 8 weeks.
All right, you're going down south this week to face another good team. They lost a heartbreaker yesterday in their own division. The Atlanta Falcons, a good football team. What stands out, what jumps out at you about this challenge? Let's talk about, first of all, their offense.
Yeah, their offense, you know, it's obviously Matt Ryan's the key. They've got weapons, and he handles everything at the line of scrimmage, and he's much like Peyton, and then he puts them in the best possible play available based on how the defense is deployed. So that itself is a challenge. The receivers are exceptional down the field. He's got a quick release. He did get hit a few times by the Saints, so you know we'll have to rely heavily on our pass rush. But it's a well-coached offense. It's a balanced offense, and they've got a big back that we're all familiar with. That looks
What's
like
his name?
He looks like he's in real good shape right now. So
yeah,
looked like he ran pretty well. So we'll have our hands full there.
You're going to get some questions on Steven Jackson, obviously, this week. But you're ready for that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I'm really happy for him. Yeah. I mean, I wish I wouldn't have seen him play at the level he was playing yesterday, knowing that we got to go down and play him. But you know, he was a great teammate here, a great pro, and I'm happy for his success.
You mentioned the going from preseason to the regular season, young guys can't, they don't know what to expect. They can't know because they're young people. Going from week one to week two after the first regular season game, health-wise?
Health-wise, we're good. The normal bumps and bruises, may have a couple guys, you know, cut back on reps on Wednesday practice. But so health-wise, we're good. You should see improvement. We should see improvement with the young guys from week one to week two. They now know what to expect. They know how to prepare, and that's what you do as coaches. And as a team, you need to improve, you know, throughout the early part of the season.
Jeff, thanks for the time. Congratulations on the win. How about a hand for Jeff Fisher?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Look forward to the battle in Atlanta down south.
We'll be there.
Thanks. I know you will. We'll be there, too. We'll be there, too. Thanks for coming out. Everybody here at Buffalo Wild Wings, also everybody that participated via text or on the phone lines, and a special thanks to our friends from Binghamton, New York. Chuck, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Jeff Fisher Show on 101 ESPN and the Rams Radio Network.